It's 11:35, Newfoundland Daylight Saving Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moss. You're listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave.
Taxi, Adam. Take one. Great Eastern, October 5th. St. John's, while very much the village, is also North America's oldest city. We are painfully parochial and yet surprisingly urbane. Among our more cosmopolitan attributes is our extensive use of taxis as a means of Mom, for the love of God, I'm recording a bit for the show! I'm buying my lunch today! I'm an adult! I'm allowed! No, I am not made of money! Stop hounding me! Taxi, please, pick up. Among our more cosmopolitan attributes is our extent... Oh, here's my cab now. On a dirty day like this one, a singularly mausy affair, I call a chaise taxi to take me into work. Wilbur, my man.
What's all this?
I'm doing a piece for the show on taxis in St. John's.
Oh, look, I don't know about this, boy.
Come on, boy, it's nothing.
Okay. Okay, where to?
Off to the BCN.
I thought the government laid all you guys off.
No, that's the CBC.
That's too bad.
Is some weather we're having though, hey? Must make driving tough.
Oh, great. Let's talk about the weather. That's one thing about driving cab, Paul, boy. You're always dying to have a little chat about the weather. And you just never get the chance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, anyway, it's supposed to clear up this afternoon. It's going to be gorgeous, they say.
Great. Yeah. Another sunny day. Death for the cab business. Sunny day. Sunny day.
I guess congratulations are in order, though, Wilbur.
Why?
Well, for guessing what was in the Tiddly Teapot. Jeez, $85,000. That must be a record jackpot. How did you ever guess the Schrodinger wave equation?
Winning that money was a curse, boy.
How so?
The taxes, boy. And then half the Southern Shore are showing up in the house, and then there's this GD car.
Jeez, Wilbur, watch out for the youngster!
Jeez, God damn it, boy. You hit a youngster these days, boy, and a hullabaloo. But before, if you nail the youngster, you drag him off to the hospital and his old man will show up and give him a boot in the ass for being out in the road. But you touch one of them now, boy, and you're up on charges. Oh.
Are you okay, Wilbur?
Oh, boy, I can't eat anything at all, Paul, boy. Even a bit of toast and it bloats right up. A boiled dinner or a bottle of beer, just a simple bottle of beer, boy. It got... Oh, Jesus, it all repeats on me, boy.
Maybe you should see a doctor, Wilbur.
Yeah, and have some Chinaman in me up to the elbow. Not likely.
Back door, please, Wilbur. Well, what do you think of that new television sitcom they got on about the St. John's taxi trade?
Some big shot producer comes down from New Brunswick, boy, and hires all these glamorous actors to depict a way of life that is, in fact, mean, dirty, crude, ultimately unsatisfying, personally humiliating, and never, ever, ever worth the effort. I don't like it.
Well, here we are now pulling up to the old BCN building. Can you believe that they're considering tearing this down?
An excellent idea. Thing's an eyesore.
I love this building.
You would. $460. We'll call it $5.
Okay. There you go. Oh, back to the grind.
I don't know how you do it, Paul boy. 10 to 4, 4 days a week, 7 months a year. Must be brutal.
Takes the good right out of me, Wilbur.
Yeah, you look a wreck.
Yeah. Drive on, good hack. I love this town.
Guff and dying peoples of Canada, Iceland, and Newfoundland, my name is Paul Moth. This week on The Great Eastern, we find out where the bodies are buried. Aliens cool out in the refrigerator. A flood of national responses to our distinctly Newfoundland noise, and the return of our always perky political panel. All this for you, with me, on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. What a week. First, have you seen those wasps that are rampaging across the country? They may be logy, but they're still dangerous, as I found out. Tuesday, one stung me on the thumb, and the pain
right up my arm to the shoulder and across my chest, started to get tight. I don't have to tell you what I thought was happening. The tongue swole up a little, but everything seems to be working order now. And then second, the rumor mill started churning like a mighty Churchillian turbine. I must address this scuttlebutt, because it concerns me. It is currently running rampant in some of the country's popular press. The buzz originated, I imagine, from fertile minds in the BCN mailroom. I did indeed receive a package from Los Angeles this week. The sender, it is true, was one Kim Campbell, the Right Honorable Lotus Land lass, but for the record, I have never had an intimate relationship with Ms. Campbell, and I do not, as one particularly loathsome scribe suggested, have a thing for conservative women. Truth be told, the package I received from Kim Campbell was a manuscript, a long-lost first draft of a novel I began during my dark years in the City of Angels. Kim is resident there now in the Wiltshire. As it turns out, she's in the former digs of sub-monoist composer and dear friend of mine, the late Hugh Cuva. It seems that Kim was cleaning out some closet space when she stumbled upon a yellowing mound of paper, 1,260 double-spaced typed pages, my name prominently featured on the first. I thought it had been lost forever. Thank you, Kim Campbell. I owe you one. Here now from our fabulously rich musical archive is Grace Boutelier, performing live on the Great Eastern in 1958. This is Cole Porter's From This Moment On.
From this moment on, you for me, dear, only to the tea, dear, from this moment on. Sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, will be riding high, babe. Every care is gone from this moment on. Sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, will be riding high, babe. Every care is gone from this moment on.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
As media guru Marshall McLuhan said, 57 channels and nothing on. And with that cautionary note, yes, Hector?
Never mind.
We welcome to the Great Eastern syndicated television critic Hector Penfold with his choice picks from a new season of Televisual Pulses.
Hello.
Is TV getting any better, Hector, or is there simply more of it?
I'd say more choice is always better.
Do you really think?
Absolutely.
We here in Newfoundland now get upwards of 11 channels. I find just flicking from service to service, I fall into a trance state. The hours go by, and I come to feeling all clammy and spent.
We get way more than 11 channels.
There's only 12 stations on the dial.
You don't have a converter.
A what?
Anyway, I don't know why you would feel compelled to continually graze over the channels. Why don't you just find a show you like and watch it?
I guess it's because for most of my adult life, I've been overcome by the sensation I'm missing something.
I can believe that.
Well, let's talk about the new TV season now. Is it a case of more clones of earlier programs to look forward to?
Not clones, Paul. This year it's hybrids.
Oh, like?
CBC has a hot new show, A Thing in Kensington. It's a hybrid of The X-Files and The King of Kensington, a happy-go-lucky chump running a Toronto grocery, and his multi-ethnic pals investigate wacky paranormal antics in southern Ontario.
Where better? May I add that, having lived the experience, it's always a puzzle to me why people would watch a show like The X-Files. But King of Kensington, now there was a funny show. Shall we hear a clip of this new hybrid?
I'll just put this salami in the fridge.
Oh, no.
Yo, look at the size of these eggs.
Oh, no. The aliens. Honey, they're sucking out the Duke's brains.
They're not sucking out his brains, dear. That's how they make whoopee.
How would you know?
That's good. A Thing in Kensington.
Recorded before a live audience at the Glenn Gould Studio in Toronto.
Really?
Now, another much-anticipated hybrid is NBC's Death Watch, Friends on the Street. It's about a group of young people living together on the beach in Southern California.
Yeah, everyone going around in bathing suits, then?
You got it.
I like that in a television show. But the twist is?
They're all serial killers.
Let's hear some.
Okay, who brought the shovel?
I thought you brought it.
I thought you brought it.
I know. Let's go to the cappuccino bar. Someone's bound to have a shovel there.
Okay. You want to make up first?
Okay.
Uh-oh. Mr. Naughty says I'm in love.
Now, Hector, I'm a bit of an observer of things written, and with the technical complexity evidenced here, I'll wager Death Watch Friends on the Street is going to be a hit.
I concur. Outside of drama, there's an enormous number of new information programs this year.
Where's all this new information coming from?
I didn't mean new information. I meant information programs that are new.
Right. So the information is old.
Some of it. I guess. Whatever.
Okay, I'm sorry. What should we be on the lookout for in information programming?
Zagner Cable International is gambling on Big Lie with Saul Hickey.
Wasn't he in a band?
Big Lie has funky interviews and features about pop culture.
I guess my interview technique is somewhat pedestrian. I ask a question, usually written down here on paper, and I try to remain focused so I'll know where we're heading. How do I funk up an interview?
Well, the producers of Big Lie are relying on shaky handheld camera and exotic sets that have no context. It's fantastic. As for funking up a radio interview, I have no idea.
The blind medium, alas. Clip?
So just why does Cesus keep good at Munsinger's underwear?
If you saw the undergarments, you'd understand.
It's sort of like Stompin' Tom meets the musical Ride.
What?
Thanks for this. Next, Alanis Morissette takes me to the movies.
Talented young Canadian, that Alanis. I quite enjoyed her last picture, but I don't really see her as Anne of Green Gables. So much to talk about, so much TV to look at, but we are, sadly, out of time. In conclusion, good Hector?
Well, Paul, I'm not alone among critics in thinking that television is finally living up to its promise. It seems that the tube can provide an almost unlimited supply of the highest quality entertainment and information, and thus deserves to be considered as seriously as any other media.
Yeah, I've often thought that America's funniest home videos and hard copy are the true heirs to the tradition forged by Paddy Chayefsky, Dennis Potter, and Quinn Martin. Thank you, Hector Penfold.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. Yes, celebrity county coroners, cryogenics, the bronzed beauties frolic on the beach in blissful ignorance of the inevitable. Hello, I am Morris Jesso. Won't you join me this fall as Interred visits California? Go west, young man. That's right, a little further, a little further. Keep going. that's interred. Sundays, noon, on BCN, with me, Morris Jesso.
Contest time, it's time for our What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest. Your job is to guess what in the world that noise from Newfoundland is. Winners receive a beautiful Great Eastern pocket protector or some other souvenir from the BCN kiosk. And I was right about the response from our national audience. Canadians have caught the What's That Noise from Newfoundland bug. Our postperson has been limping to the door of the building all week. Hollis Stoffit, give us a sonic hint about the noise from Newfoundland. And down into the mailbag I go, churning around the many entries. And here's an envelope from, well, with all the mail we've received from Canada, here we have an entry from St. John's, and it's from Ivan Palmer. And Ivan writes about the What's That Noise from Newfoundland? Clearly the sound of the Halifax Buddhists chanting in angry unison at the slighting tone of your program. No, Ivan, it isn't a bunch of Buddhists chanting or otherwise. And anyway, that'd be a Nova Scotia noise. Yeah, well, I suppose I should apologize for what I said last week. So, okay, I'm sorry for the slighting tone, as Zen Master Ivan calls it. Sensitive types. Get your pens and papers ready, folks. If you think you know what our non-Buddhist noise from Newfoundland is, I'll give you our contest address right after you hear it. Hollis, once more for the road. Enter the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest by writing us, care of the Great Eastern, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1B3T8.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. At 1, give the kids a taste of the hooskow on Uncle Jack's Shack. Little Esau and Betty are named as co-conspirators when Warden Coombs finds a freezer full of meat from the Pippi Park Petting Zoo. At 2, Puffy Barber and Toe Rousel size up extreme sports in Newfoundland. Monster darts, equestrian bowling, and the team cliffhang. Puffy and Toe prognosticate from the shade of the beer tent on Jock and Jill. At 4, it's episode 2 of Delbert Onglow's Please Make It Stop. This week, sullen daughter Brenda finds she may have stashed the evidence in haste. Constable Burns' attentions set back Mom's deprogramming, and Dad still trapped under the cabin in Deer Park. Somebody, anybody, help me. This week on Please Make It Stop. A full day of informative and entertaining programming on BCN 520, All Newfoundland Radio.
They've had a long summer off, but it's time to put our panel on political culture back to work. Joining me in the studio are pundit and pollster J. Richard Kandow and Ariel Flint, host of BCN's Show Trial. Joining us by phone from Churchill Falls is Professor Carl Johnson, Valmanis Chair in Political Economy at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's. Welcome back, folks.
Hello.
Now, I have it on good authority that you've all been busy as beavers. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, but first, give us some of your summer highlights.
Well, I was at the National Action Committee on the Status of Women Convention.
And elected to the board. Congratulations, Ariel.
Thank you.
Aren't you a little fair-skinned, Ariel, to be on the NAC board?
Oh, give it up. The media obsessed on race just so they wouldn't have to cover the real issues. And besides, I'm 1/8 Cree.
What? Since when? When did this happen?
My great-grandmother.
You are unbelievable, Ariel. A couple of years ago, Paul, she suddenly gets a streak of gray in her hair, a la Sharon Sontag.
Oh, it's Susan Sontag.
And now she's a red Indian.
Paul, could you remind me, what century are we living in? Red Indian?
Oh, really, Richard?
Your true colors have certainly become obvious.
I deny that.
Try denying that you attended the Newfoundland Savings Bank AGM in Maui.
Why would I deny that?
The most garish spectacle of corporate excess since the fall of Rome.
Some of the stories I've heard, J. Richard, they do seem a bit over the top.
Choppered in, a complete floor show, group massage, hors d'oeuvres from both ends.
Well, that does sound good.
Oh, well, it was excellent.
Oh, surely the obscene profits made by the banks in this country over the past decade.
Next issue. All right.
But before we move on, besides the AGM in Maui, what about your summer, J. Richard? What did you do?
Well, I attended a number of conventions myself. Republican, Reform, the Conservatives.
Oh, God.
Yeah, snooze fests all. I mean, you knew the Republicans were going to nominate a reactionary, but yesterday's reactionary and the Canucks, Reform, and the Tories, I mean, if it wasn't for the youth wing, I don't know what would have been going on there.
Man, if there's anything to put fear in the cold heart of a baby boomer, it's a right-wing Gen Xer with a big hate on for Medicare.
Agreed. You know, I think these Tory youth mean business. The health care costs for the Ulsters are going to be brutal. I don't like to say this, but I think you had better get the basement apartment ready for Mom and Dad.
Have they no mercy?
What can the traditional reactionaries do? I mean, Canadian politics is a closed system, with the Liberal Party expanding to the right. Reform and Tories are being pushed against a wall.
Yeah, a wall called National Socialism.
Indeed, it's a great time to be a Liberal.
Richard?
What? I've become a member of the Liberal Party of Canada, so what?
Oh, you pathetic parasite.
What do you mean, pathetic?
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. Crass opportunism and quiet hypocrisy are cornerstones of the Liberal Party.
And that is why they are the natural governing party of this great country!
I attended the NDP policy forum, actually.
Carl?
Yes.
Go on.
Well, everybody there was very nice.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Precisely now, Mr. Quisling, what policies of the Liberal Party so enthuse you?
Well, taking out the CBC. I mean, that's going to make governing a lot easier. And keeping that tax on books, I think that's inspired.
Oh, God. You know, Richard, you're a dream from which I cannot awake.
I knew you'd come crawling back, baby.
Why, pray tell, is the taxation of reading inspired?
You know what happens when people read too much, Ariel? Just look at yourself. Their heads get all full of crazy ideas. They start making unreasonable demands on the government. You know, it's just insane.
And the CBC?
Well, being under constant scrutiny inhibits the government. You try putting some program in place or building something or buying a few planes, and the next thing you know, you're being accused of taking kickbacks. You never get anything done.
I see. So kill the National Public Broadcaster.
Look, I admit I'll miss the Fresh Prince and Central Park West. In any event, we've got the BCN there to pick up the slack.
Well, even if the BCN were to survive into the next century, there's little like... Surely you know that the BCN is in play.
Yeah. What?
Haven't you heard, Paul? Conrad Black's negotiating with the Newfoundland government to purchase the grand old broadcaster.
Is it great news?
Have I ever said anything untoward about Conrad Black?
Well, if you had, you'd been sued already, Paul.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
If I'm not mistaken, Paul, didn't you say that Barbara Emile was one?
Babs, oh, that's right.
Oh, I remember that.
Listen, she was not that big when I dated her. I was just making an observation. Oh, no. I'm not qualified to do anything else.
Paul Hollis, look, he's waving at you there.
Oh, right. Well, we're out of time, folks. So thanks for coming in, J. Richard Kando and Ariel Fenton St. John's and Carl Johnson on the phone. Thank you all, and we'll be back soon with another political panel.
Okay, goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye, Paul.
Bonjour. I am Chef Paul Benoit, hôte of Paul's Pot. Won't you join me this week as we dine Paris al fresco? Learn the boulevardier's delicate art of toying with the salad niçoise as the exhaust fumes waft across the plate. Suffer the great French gastronomic tradition, le maître des snotty. Après abuse, a visit to a filthy kitchen to observe preparation of a sucker's $22 coffee and croissant. Garçon, vite, vite! Paul Spot on the BCN, Wednesdays at 5:30. What do you say, boys? À table.
Our glorious summer fades into memory. The food fishery is over. The turnip crop is coming in now. The dogberries are burning on their bushes. Jelly jars are jammed with preserves and pickles. The root cellars are swept out. Birch junks are split. Spring lambs fall into the winter larder. The September-October crossover season is upon us. The autumn is here. New radio shows burst into the ether, television's wasteland cringes neath the spotlight of critical observation, and we once more are taught our yearly lesson. All things come to pass. And that was to be my topic today, that everything is unfolding as it usually does. But then I hear the shattering rumor that mega-media masticator Tubby Black plans on forking the grand old broadcaster into his maw. Is it to be that the time has come for the BCN? Has public broadcasting so quickly become an anachronism? A shiver ripples down the spine of this, your reporter, sitting in his boxy studio in the big blue broadcast building that was once an abattoir and may soon become one again. The past becomes the present. Are we the chickens and kine on a new processing line? Change is inevitable, but this kind of change? Is everything for sale? What price freedom? What price radio? Just a few of the queries that are stumping your humble public servant, and should be stumping you, too. The Great Eastern is beamed live to you from the studios of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. Our engineer today was the insuperable Hollis Duffett. The director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. We know you like writing to us, viz the volume of mail we've received so far, so come on in, the crowd here is friendly. Drop us a line at 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or send us email. That address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. We've also got a fabulous homepage. Check it out through CBC's page or email us for the address. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next Saturday for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Coast to coast in Newfoundland, you're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Good afternoon, I'm Erling Biggs, your weather watchdog with Traffic Alert. Traffic Alert brought to you by Furlong Knobs. Whether it's bullseyes, peppermint, or molasses, enjoy a Furlong Knob today. The downtown streets are thick with Germans from the cruise ship Lebensraum, docked in our fair port. The mayor is asking citizens to let bygones be bygones. The German for welcome is Willkommen. The phrase Mehr Geld, accompanied by appropriate gestures, communicates a desire for more money. In an ongoing effort to solve the intersection puzzle at the meeting of Duckworth and Prescott Streets, city engineers have installed another experimental signaling apparatus. Drivers are advised that from 6 p.m. today until 6 a.m. Monday, a pulsing green followed by a rapid red-yellow combination suggests a left turn opportunity, while a simultaneous green, yellow, and red light indicates all should be clear.